Good morning to you, and the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you on this day. It is a true blessing having you here together as we are together in the Lord's house. Several things that we have is the bulletin. We will follow that order of bulletin, our complete services there. There is a time for a children's message, but because of this, the pastor will stand here and give the children's message, and then the children, you may remain in your seats. We're sorry for not being able to come forward at this time. But hopefully that will pass soon. The other thing is, with the whole service in the bulletin, you can take that bulletin and take it home with you, or if you want, you can recycle it on the way out and the services. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We'll be happy to serve in any way that we are able to. And we pray that God would bless us now as we gather around His Word. Peace.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and it will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Job chapter 38. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed'? Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart," that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him into the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We recite the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We sing the first two stanzas of our sermon hymn, Eternal Father Strong to Save.
Thank you. you think this thin little string can lift this brick? The brick's about 8 pounds, I think. What do you think? I'm going to say it can, but maybe we're going to have to try a few things. So if I put it just under it and try, it ends up sliding out. Any better? No? Maybe the battery can do that. Any work? No?
Just talk louder.
Talk louder. I'll move closer to the lectern.
This is one of my typical issues in when I serve in church. I'll always have microphone problems. So we're lucky we made it this far. So this brick, maybe, can be lifted with this string. But if I try it this way, maybe I wrap it around twice, it still just slides out. I'm going to have to do something to get it. What about if I tie it? Thank you, Pastor. So if I tie the string, give it a good strong knot, we get the brick and it takes the towel with it, so it must be really strong. But this tiny, thin little string that looks like it could never pick up something heavy picks up this brick. In our Bible story for today, we heard that the disciples were in a boat. And they were in a boat when it was windy and dark, and they were very scared that their boat might sink. But late in the night, when they were probably most scared for their lives, they see what they think is a spirit or a ghost walking out on the water. And one of the disciples, Peter, calls to this person saying, "Jesus, if it is you." Now, I think Peter wanted to test and see if it really was Jesus. But Jesus says to him, "Come." And so Peter is going to get to walk on the water. Now, this is pretty cool because none of us get to walk on the water. But Peter, thinking that if it is Jesus, God can keep me on the water. And so Jesus says, "Come on out." And Peter starts walking on the water. And so he gets a little bit out of the ways out there, away from the boat. And when he sees the wind around him, when he sees how dangerous and dark it is, maybe he starts to doubt. Maybe he starts to get afraid. And so he begins to sink. But what does he do? He says, "Jesus, save me." And Jesus sticks out his arm and pulls him up, and they go back to the boat. But Peter, what Peter does when he says, "Lord, save me," is kind of like this string. Peter's words can't save him. But what Peter said, what Peter trusts in his heart, he believes that Jesus can save him. And when he says with his lips, "Jesus, save me," Jesus can save him. And that's what Jesus does. What Peter knows in his heart, what Peter trusts in his heart, and what Peter says with his lips mean that he is going to save him and that he is going to be saved. And that's what Jesus does for us. Every time Jesus says, "Come," he gives us this string that pulls us up, that saves us. And when we are afraid, or when we think there are awful things happening in the world, when we think the world might create big problems for us, every time we say, "Jesus, please help me," Jesus says, "Be not afraid, it is I." And this is what Jesus gives us. He gives us something like this string, and he ties it to our heart, so that when that knot is nice and strong, our heart is always saying, Jesus, come, and our lips are always saying, Jesus, save. And the reason that this knot is so tight and strong is because Jesus took all of our doubts and all of our weaknesses, anything that we might not believe, he took it to the cross where he died for our sins, so that he might be able to give us something nice and strong so that we know we can always be saved. And that's what we rejoice in. That's what our trust and our hope is. When weak things come into our lives, we say, Jesus, come, and that's what he does. Isn't this wonderful news? Amen. We continue with the last two verses of our sermon hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you, dearly beloved of the Lord. It's raining and it's raining hard and you're driving down the road. It's turning so hard as you're driving down the road, your tires lose traction on the road and your car begins to slip and to slide. You're out of control. Your tension in your body begins to build up. Your hand grips on that wheel becomes tighter. You become white-knuckled, and you're barely, as you step on the brake, barely able to miss that car that's right in front of you. And when you do stop, you're right next to them instead of behind them. You let go of the wheel. You take a deep breath. Your stomach is all in a knot. The bejeebies has been scared out of you, and all that there is all over the seats is your bejeebies. It's all that's left. A fear of that out of control. You know, there are things that can cause fear. Losing control of your car in rain or snow on ice, gravel roads can all cause a bit of tension and fear in you. The unknown can cause a fear. If you look at a child when they see the darkness, something's in the dark and they don't know, and the unknown causes fear. Today, in our sermon text of the Matthew 14, there's fear that comes, and we want to find out what that's about. To set up our text for today, remember last week, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Jesus had compassion on them and he healed them. It was late in the evening and the disciples wanted to send them away, but Jesus said, no, feed them. And he had loaves and fish and had fed all of them. And they gathered together 12 baskets full of the bread. And then it says Jesus immediately, when he was done with that, immediately sent the disciples into the boat to go ahead in front of him to the other side of the lake, and he finally dismisses the crowd. It's already evening. And we're told then that the disciples
are in the boat that's being beaten by the wind. In that Greek word, it's that boat is being tormented by the wind and the waves that are crashing against it. Now, it doesn't say it here, but if you look at the Sea of Galilee, this is probably the wind that doesn't come from the east that Scripture so often talks about. This is probably the wind that comes from the west because it was against them. And if you look at the geography, that meant the wind was coming from the Mediterranean Sea up the valleys and coming through the Valley of the Dove. And the wind that comes there beats hard and it's strong. There were even hotels that were damaged in the 1990s by that wind that was caused, that came through there in that lake. But that's the wind they were going against, and it was beating hard against that boat, and they were struggling as much as they could. Now, Jesus wasn't with them. He had gone up, and he had prayed, and was alone. Mark and John also record this, and they let us know Jesus did see it, how painfully they were making their headway. He saw it. And finally, Jesus comes. He comes to these men that are in the boat that's being beaten and that they're about 3 or 4 miles out. But when it comes, as if he was about to pass by, they see him and they were afraid and they're terrified. It wasn't the sea. It wasn't the wind at that moment that they were afraid of. They are terrified. Not just afraid. They are terrified of Jesus. How many of you are terrified of Jesus? That's not what we're usually taught. Jesus loves me, this I know. We have songs of Have No Fear, Little Flock. So many hymns and songs for children where we don't fear Jesus. We know that he's loving and kind, but they fear Jesus. Why? Why would you possibly fear Jesus? Because they thought he was a ghost? Well, not because they saw him and they saw that he was rather transparent. That's not why they probably thought he was a ghost. They thought he was a ghost because what happens? How many people do you know walk on the water in the midst of strong waves and wind? You see, what they were seeing and what they're afraid of is now they're getting a little bit more glimpse of Jesus and his divinity. They understand humanity. Humanity, hands, feet, arms, eat, drink, walk, talk, sleep. We get that. But divinity, we don't get that. And we're told in John they did not understand his divinity when he showed it with the loaves and the fish. It says they did not understand. It tells us in one of them. And so it's his divinity they don't understand. They don't understand. And we can see that. You look at Job. Where were you when the foundations of the world were laid? When it was drawn? Where were you? And the questions come at you. This all-powerful, mighty God who creates everything, who controls the land, the sea, who created the sun, the moon, the stars. This is the one standing before them. He can walk on water. Holy cow! And I don't mean that in a Hindu way. What do we got coming at us? They're terrified. But remember this. Remember the words of Isaiah, which also come into play here. Woe is me. Woe is me. And what does it say? Boy, I wrote it on a little card so I wouldn't miss it. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I see the Lord of hosts. I see the King walking on the water. Woe is me. They're terrified. Because when you have a holy God and disciples who are tainted with sin through and through stand before him with the law of God and knowing what he demands, there's nothing but terror because there's nothing I can do. But watch what happens. Watch what happens next. Jesus does what? It tells us this. And by the way, this is a fourth watch at night. So this is between 3 and 6 in the morning that this is taking place. They were terrified, but immediately, here's that immediately again. Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. The word of God was used. Jesus spoke words to bring comfort to his people, to his disciples. He spoke to them. "Take heart, it is I. I am the one who am for you. And do not be afraid." And so as they settled in that, we know, remember from Matthew 4:4, "For it is written that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And his words were spoken, that they may hear, that they know, yes, he is one of divinity, but it is him. It is I. There is no need to be afraid. Well, then, we see fear come again. Because the word should be there and they hear the word. But Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come." And the Lord speaks a single word. And by that single word, faith hangs on to it. And Peter does the impossible. The Lord says, "Come." And Peter gets out of the boat and he comes. And he walks towards Jesus. Now, it doesn't say this, but I think Peter was awfully close to Jesus. He had almost made it. He's almost there. And I'll show you why in a minute. And he gets there, and now it's not the fear of the Lord. He looks around and he sees the wind and yo. And guess what happens to Peter? He begins to sink. He begins to sink. And Peter cries out. He doesn't say, "Lord, give me more of me." He doesn't say, "Lord, I am more committed to you now. Lord, I am more dedicated to you now." He doesn't say, "Lord, you know what? I'll bargain with you. You save me now, and I promise I'll be the best disciple that you've ever had. I'll wash your sandals." I was going to say car, but that wouldn't work. He says, "Lord," what's he say? "Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And by golly, there it is again. Immediately, the Lord reaches out and takes hold of him. And that's why I think he was close. Because immediately the Lord reaches out. That means he's awfully close for him to take him down and grab him. And then he says, "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And what they probably meant is, you know, why did you doubt? You knew it was me. You sank. But I don't wonder, too, if the doubt was already because he didn't take the Lord as word when he was in the boat. And he had to be called out. But as little as faith it is, little faith still holds on to the Lord. Now, sometimes, or maybe I should ask you, have you ever not recognized Jesus? They didn't. Have you ever not recognized Jesus and his works in the little boat that he has called the church, where his word is spoken, where he comes near to you? Have you ever not recognized the Lord in this boat? And if you, in this nave, as in navy, it's named after, that's where the whole words come from. Have you ever been in this church when the wind blows? And if you look at it, very sound, with the A-frame, we go through all that architecturally, but the wood that's on there, you know what it does? It creaks like it's a ship in the sea. And in this boat that we are in with the Lord, sometimes we don't recognize Him and we don't like the way He does things. Do we fear Him? Well, we don't want to tolerate Him. And I think that I've seen more times people become angry out of fearing that the Lord is really that way, and I can't explain it. I can't explain that's the way the church works. And that's assuming that you're in a congregation in a church that holds to the word of the Lord. Because that does make a difference too. And when we hear the Lord and we are in His church anywhere, we don't always recognize Him and don't understand. He says, take heart. It is I. You know, the cross bearing, the 5,000 feeding, the Calvary walking, crucified Lord, who is there and present for you. And immediately, we come into this little boat and we repent of all the crazy things we've done and how we haven't held on to Him and how we've looked somewhere else. And do you know what He does? Lifts us up and forgives our sins and washes us once again. I didn't say this in the early service, but you notice this, what Jesus didn't do? He didn't look at Peter and go, so that's the way you are. And then walk up, just let him go ahead and sink. Your name, Peter, means rock anyways. You might as well go down to the fishies and then go over to the boat and go, you guys, you're a lot like him. Kick a hole in the boat, let it sink, and walk back to shore and get a whole bunch of new disciples. He didn't do that. He took them. They're his own. In fact, there's an amazing story at the end of Matthew 28. Jesus, just before he ascends to heaven, these 11 disciples, remember one of them's gone because it's Judas, 11 disciples see Jesus, they worship him, and some doubted. And you know what Jesus does? All authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. He takes these sinners and keeps those disciples as his own and sends them out in his name. On that day of the strong wind in the torrent, on that day of fear, there were two people who walked in the water. One walked on the water, sank, and couldn't save himself. And the other one walked on the water, was the true Son of God, and saved us all. And saved us all. Notice how it began. It began with them separated and far apart, and then brought together, and ended in worship and a confession. Not a ghost, but a Son of God. A Son of God for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to stand as we go before the throne of grace in prayer.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, we bring before you petitions that are unique to us, that you would give them the attention you so lovingly lavish upon them. Lord, we especially pray for the victims of the explosion in Beirut, Lebanon. Be with all those who are affected, especially the emergency personnel, that your compassion might be shown through them. Lord, we pray for those in this congregation who are hospitalized, especially Sandra. Lord, we bring before you those servants who you are preparing to call home, especially Todd. Be with those undergoing surgery, your servant Linda. Be with those who are recovering from surgery, illness, or injury, that you may be their hope and comfort and sustain them in their time of healing. Your servants Donna, Miriam, Elke, Archie, Keith, Norma, Lou, Roger, Lynn, Emma, Carol, Hannah, Kira, Charlene, Barbara, Betty, Sophia, Larry, Richard, Michaela, Sue, Bob, Leslie, Ray, Steve, Donna, Ralph, Robin, Beth, Linda, and Jane. Lord, we pray for those who are facing health issues. Be with the physicians of those and those who care for them, especially your servants Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Amy, Sammy, Ellie, Carol, Brandon, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Michelle, Lee, Michael, George, Julia, Weston, Tabitha, Labono, Jessica, Emma, Alicia, Faith, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Roberta, Bill, Shirley, Kaylee, Emma, Sarah, Anthony, Ed, Brady, Rowena, Orville, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. And Lord, especially among you, we pray that you would give comfort and sustain those managing and undergoing cancer treatments, especially Merritt, Beth, Aaron, Stephanie, Connie, David, Joyce, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Louise, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Shelley, Susan, Robert, Anna, Ron, Rachel, Myra, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, John, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, and Jan. Lord, we give you thanks for the birth of Natalie Gray Fitzgerald, born to Melissa and Patrick Fitzgerald, who was born on July 30th. Lord, may you care for this child and for the parents, and especially the mother, that they may desire the gift of holy baptism. Lord, we also pray for the family of Sharon Wilson, aunt of Karen Niederjohn, who passed away earlier this week. Be their stay and their hope and comfort in the resurrection. Lord, for these and all your servants, let us pray to the Lord. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty and merciful God,
Preserve us from all harm and danger, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger,
and I pray that you keep me this day also
from sin and every evil,
that all my duties in life may please you,
for into your hands I commend myself,
my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have power over
you. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me.
Amen.